Thank you, Kate. Yeah, brilliant. Welcome in the name above every name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Saviour of the world, the Shepherd of the sheep, and the Servant of all. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in the city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Charles Wesley said, faith laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. Today, we're going to look at a question. How much faith is enough? And when we read St. Luke's Gospel, we will see how the disciples approached Jesus and said, give us more faith, give us more faith. We open, dear friends, with the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us, Mary's son. Let's stand, if we're able, and praise God together.
You are one with us, Mary. One of the great blessings that we have to share as God's people is through prayer. And so let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you come to us now as we meet together in your holy and precious name. You come to meet us where we are, in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Whatever the condition of our life is, you come to share with us. You love us with an everlasting love, and we are blessed as we come into your awesome presence. Loving Lord, we pray that as we meet together this morning, we may be open to receive your word and to respond to it. We come, dear Father, just as we are. We can come no other way. We come to seek you and your will and purpose for us in our daily lives. You come to lead us on in our faith journey, to strengthen us in the pathway of life upon which we walk in your name. And we pray, dear Lord, that we may ever be aware that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, you are with us always, even until the end of the world. Father, we pray your blessing upon us this morning as we meet. We thank you for your church throughout the world, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they meet today. Some will be meeting in hot climate, others in cold. Some will meet in great cathedral and church. Others will meet in simple chapel, in the open air. Dear Lord and Father, wherever your people meet this day, we pray that they may be blessed. Father God, we come together knowing full well that we fall short of the high calling that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Many are the times when we fail to share your love, when we fail to forgive, when we fail to walk closely with Jesus our Lord. The times when we fail to take a stand within the workshop of the world, afraid of what others might say or do. Father God, strengthen our faith, we pray. Strengthen that small seed that it may become greater within your kingdom, more able to share the work and witness of the gospel that the world so needs today. Father, bless us, we pray now, and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's share together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together of that wondrous story. I will sing the wondrous story.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading is going to be read to us by Maggie. Where is Maggie? Ah, lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The reading is taken from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord. And he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God. Though you punished their misdeeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord our God is holy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Maggie. Thank you. As we seek to serve the Lord our God, we pray that we may all have hearts that are pure and holy as we serve him. And in our next hymn, we remember our call, which asks God to purify our hearts in order that we might fulfill his will and purpose. We all know how far short we fall often of that high call that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. But through the cross of Calvary, our sins are forgiven. So let us sing together the hymn, Purify My Heart.
Pressure, silver, pure, refined.
We're going to hear just a short passage of scripture from St. Luke's Gospel. We have two carols here this morning, and it's Carol P who is going to read the New Testament scripture for us. Thank you. Lovely.
This reading is from Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'"
Lovely, lovely. Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you. And could I just thank our worship group for your ministry and music this morning. It's very much appreciated. Thank you. We're going to take up our offering now for the work of God in this church and within the wider world. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, for all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Father God, take these, the gifts that we bring, tokens of the love of our hearts. Take and use them according to your will and purpose, and take our lives, lest we pray both gift and giver, use both on the harvest fields of life to glorify your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again. In Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. So let's praise God as we sing our next hymn.
Jesus' name, I've been born again.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. I wonder how many of you feel as though you have enough faith. Or are you like me and sometimes wish that you had a little more faith? A little more trust that God really is in control of this world. A little more belief that it is all going to be okay. We just have to have faith. We're here because we have at least a little faith. But if you have ever wished you had a little more, you are certainly not alone. In today's gospel reading, it's Jesus' apostles who are asking for more faith. Even they sometimes struggle with believing and trusting in God and in their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The apostles are the ones who have left everything to follow Jesus. But they've been listening to his recent teachings, which have been challenging, to say the very least. We hear a lot of those challenging teachings of Jesus. And at the beginning of this chapter, we hear these words, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive. And we know that many of the teachings of Jesus are difficult and very demanding for us to understand, let alone to follow. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. If someone slaps you on your right cheek, offer your left cheek as well. Yes. And wealth. Jesus made it quite clear to his disciples that the only wealth that they would ever possess was that which was to be found within him and his kingdom. No earthly wealth. And they couldn't understand that. Who then can be saved? And it's no wonder that Jesus' disciples respond to these teachings with a desperate plea, increase our faith. Their honest request should bring comfort to anyone who has ever wished for the same. A little more faith, a little more trust that all is going to be right, that God is in control, and that God cares about us all. We just have to have a little faith, or perhaps just a little more faith. How much is enough? This raises a question. At least to me, how much faith is enough? The apostles feel as though they need more faith to face the challenges that Jesus is placing upon them. They ask Jesus to increase their faith. If they're going to do everything that Jesus asks of them, they will certainly need more faith. At least that is what they believe. But that turns out not to be true. They don't need more faith. When the apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith, he offers a very famous response. He tells them that if they have the faith the size of a mustard seed, they have more than enough faith. The mustard seed is not the smallest seed that exists, but it's the smallest seed that the disciples knew about. It's tiny. And Jesus tells them that if they have faith the size of this tiny seed, they have more than enough faith. And I think that what Jesus is saying to them and to us is that if we have any faith at all, it is enough. It is enough. Or to put it another way, if we have enough faith to ask for more, then we already have enough. The apostles ask for more faith. That means they have some faith. If they have some faith, if we have some faith, then we have enough faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed is plenty, Jesus says. Why? Because it's not a question of how much faith we have. It's a question of who we put our faith in. Faith, to put it another way, is not about believing in something or someone without ever having any doubts. The theologian Paul Tillich puts it this way: doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is one element of faith. And the writer Anne Lamont takes this one step further when she writes, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. Certainty is missing the point entirely. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness and discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns. This is all that Jesus asks of us, to notice the mess and wait for the light, to trust him even when things seem very dark, to hold on to our mustard seed sized faith and trust that is enough. Not because of the amount of our faith, but because of who we are placing it in. Trust him. In the gospel reading, Jesus follows the statement about the mustard seed with a rather strange example involving a slave doing what is commanded. What's the point of that example? I think that it's simply to remind us that we're not in charge here. So we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't need certainty. We don't need to see the whole picture. God is in charge, and God knows what he is doing. There is more going on than any one of us knows or understands. So we're asked to trust him and to do our job. Don't wait until we have it all figured out. Part of figuring it out comes by trusting the Master and doing our job anyway. Or as the great saint and theologian Augustine put it, we do not understand in order to believe, we believe in order to understand. Trust Jesus. Do what he says, and in time we will understand his purpose and plan. We see through that glass darkly, as Scripture puts it, the words of St. Paul. And that's why we need faith, isn't it? And so Jesus says to us, trust me and follow me. And eventually it will become clear, but not in your time, in God's. And that is to me the basic message behind this gospel reading. If you have enough faith to ask for more, then you have enough faith already. Because, I'm repeating again, it's not a matter of how much faith you have. It's a matter of who you put your faith in. Yes, we may say, but what can we do to grow our faith? I'm coming back to the question that the apostles asked at the beginning of today's gospel reading. Increase our faith. I want to come back to Jesus' answer that all we need is faith the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds grow. In fact, a few chapters earlier, Jesus compared that kingdom of God to a mustard seed, which grew and became a tree that gave shelter to the birds of the air. And so I want to ask the question, isn't there something that we can do to increase our faith? Mustard seeds, when planted, grow. So can't our faith grow? And I think it can. So I want to suggest three specific things that we can do to grow our faith. If we've ever wanted just a little more faith, here are three specific things we can do. First, and perhaps most obvious, we can do what the disciples did. We can ask for more faith. That's what the apostles did. They said to Jesus, increase our faith. Think about that as a prayer. And it's a wonderful prayer. When we're struggling to believe, we can simply talk to God about it. Lord, we might say, I'm struggling to believe in you right now. I'm having a hard time trusting you. Increase my faith. Help me to trust you more. Life is tough. I need more faith. Or as it was put elsewhere in the Gospels, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. One of my favourite prayers. When we're struggling to believe, we can pray. Sometimes people can feel guilty about that. Should I really tell God that I'm having trouble believing in him? What will he think? But really, who better to talk to about it? And don't you think he knows already? So ask God. Talk to him. That's the first and obvious thing we can do. It's a glorious thing to come to God and to say, Lord, Lord, come to me. Come to me. Speak to me again. Use me again. Take my moments of glory and of doubt. My moments of that mountaintop experience and the moments when I walk through the valley. The moments when I feel close to Jesus and the moments when I feel far away from him. Every moment precious in the sight of God. And it's important that we recognize that one of the great gifts that we have is through prayer, honest prayer to God. Another thing that might be obvious but needs to be said is that if you feel as though your faith is in short supply, one of the best things you can do is to come to church. Now you're here this morning. You may come every week, I don't know. There may be times when you're not sure about coming. When you think, shall I go? I have other things to do. Don't wait until you believe to come to church. Don't wait until everything's right to come to church. Because church is where your faith and my faith is nurtured. This is a very Lutheran understanding of how to increase our faith through hearing God's word and sharing in the sacraments. Here is how one of my favourite Lutheran writers, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, puts it. If you are struggling to believe, come to the church. You can do that on the strength of your human freedom. You can leave your house on Sunday and go to hear the preaching. If you do not do it, then you willfully exclude yourself from the place where faith is possible. In this, the Lutheran confessions show that they know there is a situation which enables faith. So, if we want to increase our faith, pray for it and come to church. We're not perfect. There is no perfect church here on earth. The only perfect church is in heaven. But we come because we know that here we're meeting with the people of God. All of us different, all of us having different needs, a rich diversity of humanity, but all part of the body of Christ, all seeking to serve the Lord and Giver of life. All seeking to walk clothed in humility and in love. But there's a third way to increase our faith, and that's to share our struggles and even our doubts with a Christian friend. Don't keep it to yourself. I've always said that to myself. Share your struggles with someone you trust. There are many, many examples of famous Christians who have done this. And to give you just one example, consider John Wesley. Remember him? The founder of the Methodist Church. Well, John Wesley went through a period in his life when his faith was very low. So what did he do? He talked to some friends that he trusted. One of them offered this advice to him. Preach faith until you have it. And then, because you have it, you will preach faith. He was also invited to attend a meeting at the church one evening where they were studying Martin Luther's writing on Paul's letter to the Romans. And this is how John Wesley himself describes what happened when he heard Martin Luther describe the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ. I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. And of course, after that, John Wesley went on to become one of the greatest preachers and evangelists that the church has ever known, even though, or perhaps because, he struggled in his faith. Why? Because when he did, he talked to a trusted friend and he prayed to the Lord, asking him to increase his faith. And he went to church and his mustard seed-sized faith proved to be enough to dramatically change the church forever. And isn't that the point that Jesus is trying to make to us today? Your faith, my faith, however small it may seem, is plenty big enough. Because it isn't about how big our faith is. It never was. It was always about who we put our faith in. No matter how little our faith, when we put it in Jesus, there is no end to what he can accomplish. To the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. We come to you, Heavenly Father, just as we are. Often with great joy in our hearts, often in moments of sorrow. Often sharing the wondrous gifts that you have given. And often treading a pathway of darkness. Sometimes our faith holds fast and we rejoice. Sometimes we have to confess that faith can be dimmed in the challenging scenes of life that we do face and that we have faced and that we may face in the future. But we thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his love reaches out to us at all times. But he's there at every moment of our lives. And he knows us through and through. His love for us never dies. And he comes to us today, knocking on the door of our hearts again to say, will you let me in? Will you allow me to control your life? To hold your life in the hollow of my hands? To use your life? Dear Lord and Father, we come to you now just as we are and pray that you will take us again and challenge and change us. For each new day that dawns beholds your glory and offers us a new opportunity of stepping out into the world in faith, knowing that every step we take, you will take with us. Father, bless us, we pray. Bless us and be with us today and always. And we pray that however marred the image of Christ may be that we present, nonetheless, people may see Jesus in us. Be with us as we go out into the world to share the gospel message, good news for all. Be with us as we seek to carry the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, not a cushion, but a cross of redeeming love for all the world. Be with us, Father, and bless each ministry that we share, every one of us called to ministry. So be with us, each one, in that ministry that you have given to us. In Jesus' precious name. We pray for the Church of God everywhere. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you for your church. And we pray that the light which has never been extinguished will go on shining for all the world, that people may be drawn to that light and seek Christ May your church be bold in its message today, clear in its message, honouring your word. We pray for our world, your world, dear Father. We pray for peace and reconciliation amongst the nations. We thank you for those areas of the world where peace is being sought. And especially we give thanks for Israel and Palestine. And we pray that that peace may hold, that people may see the foolishness of war, of hatred, of bitterness. We remember Ukraine and Russia, and we pray for the leaders of all nations, that they may seek pathways of peace and harmony, where all people are looked upon as the precious gift that they truly are. And we pray, Father, that you will remind each one of us that peace begins with us, each one of us, called to be peacemakers within the world. Father, we take our place within the workshop of the world and pray that we may walk humbly with our dear Lord. We pray for our church here, for our work and witness in this place. We pray for the meeting that will be shared, that we may hear your voice, that we may share together in humility and in love, recognizing that we all have a part to play in building your kingdom here on earth. Bless our meeting together, dear Father. And we thank you for our fellowship, so important to us in our Christian living. Bind us together in the greatest power of all, the power of love. And may love be at the center of all that we seek to do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. We came into this church just as we are, and we will go out just as we are, and God knows everything about us. And in our closing hymn, let us remember that we are held in the hollow of God's hand, loved with an everlasting love, all of us. And may we offer ourselves again into the service of Almighty God as we share, just as I am, thine own to be.
And
We pray together. Oh, that each in the day of his coming may say, I have fought my way through, I have given thy work thou hast given me to do. Oh, that each from their Lord may receive the glad word, well and faithfully done, enter into my joy and sit down on my throne. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen.